Hey, y'all out there. This is Bo Billingsley, the voice of Jet Black and the Fourth Raikage. You're listening to The Night Nerd. Stay tuned because all kinds of good things will be happening.
Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Thursday, so we're going to talk a little bit of history. All week, we've been celebrating the life and creativity and really just general awesomeness of Leonardo da Vinci. He is like the Renaissance man. Everyone knows his works. Maybe doesn't know a lot about him, but he is one of the most iconic people in all of time. We've looked at video games that feature him, movies, comics, all sorts of stuff about Leonardo da Vinci, and it's really awesome. He's a really cool guy. I've always been a huge fan. Today, though, we're going to take a brief look at his life and where he came from. We were going to do some Mona Lisa talk today, but we're going to save that one for tomorrow's show, so make sure you tune in tomorrow to learn why the Mona Lisa is important, because that's a story not a lot of people know. But Da Vinci. So he was born April 15th in 1452 in the middle of the night, supposedly at like 3 a.m. in the Tuscan town of Vinci. He was an out-of-wedlock kid. His father was Messer Piero Frosino de Antonio Da Vinci, who was a real famous Florentine notary. They were hard up for celebrities back then. That's why you had famous notaries. And his mother was Caterina, a peasant. And we'll talk about her a little bit later and stuff. But those were his parents. He was born. And when he was born, he didn't have a last name in the way that we have last names. Because last names really, in the grand scheme of humanity and stuff, are fairly recent things. And so Da Vinci just means of Vinci. And his full birth name was Leonardo de Ser Piero da Vinci, which means Leonardo, son of Messer Piero from Vinci. And that's all it was. That's how they named people, was somebody's son. They don't know a whole lot about him as a little kid. First few years of his life, he lived with his mom, and then in 1457, he lived with his dad and his grandparents and his uncle in Vinci, and his dad married, had a thing for young women, because he married a 16-year-old girl who got along with Leonardo really well, but she died not too long after that, in 1465. And then when he was 16, his dad married a 20-year-old, and she passed away also, and neither of them had kids or anything. And then finally, his father married his third wife, Margarita, and she gave birth to 6 kids. And later, he would get married again to Lucrezia, who gave him another 6 kids. So even though Leonardo is the oldest, he's kind of the bastard. We watch Game of Thrones. We know that word. So he had 12 half siblings, and he wasn't ever really close to him because he was older. Like, he was way older. When he was 40 years old is when the last child was born, and so he didn't really hang out with him or talk to him. And as we'll look at later on in his life, whenever his dad passed away, that caused some problems and stuff trying to get everything sorted out. But he learned a little bit about Latin and geometry and mathematics and everything. And that's, even to this day, they're still trying to figure out about his life. There's a few stories that I thought were kind of neat. In Da Vinci's own words, he's only recounted like 2 incidents. One was, he thought was a sign that a kite dropped down, it fell from the sky and kind of hovered above him, and it's the tail of it brushed his face when he was in his cradle. Take that with a grain of salt, which you will. But then another one was when he was older, he was out in the mountains and he found a cave, and he was really scared of this cave because he thought there may be some kind of monster or something in there. But he was also really curious to see if there was a monster or what was in there. And that just goes to show, you know, how inquisitive and curious and everything he was, even as a kid, is really neat. But when he was 14 years old in 1466, he became an apprentice for Andrea de Cione, who went by the street name, or pen name, I don't know. What was street name? Sounds cooler. Of Verrocchio. And his place was one of the nicest places in Florence. It was where some of the top painters and sculptors went. And Leonardo studied there for 7 years. And, you know, kind of learned stuff about chemistry and metalworking and woodwork and mechanics and leather and painting and sculpting, and just that's where he got the bulk of his education, was in this place, and that's where he learned how to do so much. What's another neat story, there's a lot of really neat stories with Leonardo da Vinci. Another neat one is while he was there, he helped on this painting called The Baptism of Christ, and Andrea Verrocchio saw it and was like, man, you are so much better than I am, that supposedly he put down his brush and never painted again. People really don't believe that so much, but it's still, you know, a really solid, solid story. And then, so in 1472, he qualified as a master. You know, he went through all of his apprenticeship and everything, and he joined the Guild of St. Luke, which was for doctors and artists and everything. And his dad set up his own workshop for him, but he stayed with Verrocchio because, you know, he had learned so much and done everything with him. But so now that he's part of this guild, he starts getting commissions and stuff. Although there is a blank spot in his life, because in 1476, so he'd have been about 24 then, he and three other guys were charged with sodomy. Homosexual stuff was illegal in back in the day in Florence. And after that, he disappeared. Nobody, I mean, we talk about not having records of his younger years. There's literally no records of these 2 years of his life. But in 1478, he shows back up. He starts taking commissions and stuff. He joins the Medici place. They had a place called it was at the Garden of Piazza San Marco in Florence, and he went there and started stuff. He worked in the Chapel of St. Bernard. He did a lot of stuff for different monasteries and things, but never completed them. That was kind of his MO. And then in 1482, right, like a decade before Columbus sailed the ocean blue, he made this really nice lyre out of silver that looked like a horse head. And the Medici family like sent him out to Milan to talk to Lodovico Sforza and sent it as like a peace offering and a, hey, let's be friends and stuff. And over the next few years, he kind of traveled around. This is when he would paint The Last Supper and everything. It's really weird. There's a lot of talk of like bronze horses during this time of Da Vinci's life for like 15 years. Something about bronze horses. And then in 1502, he started working for Cesare Borgia, which, if you remember Monday's show, we hate the Borgia because Assassin's Creed and things. So, I don't know. I think he was doing it like secretly to get information for Ezio or something. I don't know. That's my headcanon. But he made maps and stuff for Cesare and did some stuff for that. He was only there for a little bit though, because then he went back to the Guild of St. Luke in Florence. And while he was there, he and Michelangelo and Raphael were all hanging out and doing stuff together, being turtles and stuff. And that would be, you know, his life, just painting and designing and creating and just doing so many great things. His father passed away in 1504, and in 1507 is when he went back and had to deal with his brothers trying to figure out what to do with inheritance and everything. And apparently they got it all sorted out and they got it figured out. So that's good. And finally, you know, in 1519, on May 2nd, Leonardo da Vinci passed away. He died at Close Luce, and it sounds like Trace Leches, but there are all these people that loved him. I mean, supposedly the king was there holding his head. He had 60 beggars following his casket after he passed away and all this stuff. And he was really pretty generous. I mean, he gave his inheritance to an heir and some of his students and his brothers and his serving woman, his maid, basically, and everything. And his remains were buried at Collegiate Church in St. Florentine in Chateau d'Ambrose in France. But the church got destroyed, burned down or something, and nobody really knows what happened to him. And in the 1860s, they found a skeleton and some stuff that kind of had his name on it, but not really. And that's what they claim are his remains. And now they're at the Chapel of St. Hubert. And they say presumed to be Da Vinci. There's supposed to be a DNA test, though, that we get the results for later this year. So I'm really excited to see how that comes back. But yeah, he's just, like I said, full life, all sorts of great stuff. Really, really awesome, really important person and artistic. Just wonderful, wonderful guy. But let us know, what are some of your favorite Da Vinci paintings and stuff? You can let us know in the comments below here on SoundCloud or over on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're out there. We're everywhere. Just look for the Night Nerd. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you're listening to this on original airing, when Avengers Endgame comes out next week, we're going to be at Premier Cinema in Lubbock, Texas, working with Star Comics on Friday and Saturday. So next Friday and Saturday, I guess that's the 25th and 6th. Yeah. We'll be out there. Come out, say hi, get some stickers and stuff, hang out. We look forward to seeing you. If you want to talk more about Da Vinci, though, you can email us, nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. But otherwise, that's going to do it for us today. Again, I'm Lance. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next time. And a scientist, inventor, painter, sculptor, and anatomist. That's Da Vinci, Renaissance man. Da Vinci, Renaissance man. Musician and the writer and the botanist, architect and engineer are also on the list. Da Vinci.